ahead of the December 12th elections in the UK, politicians of every stripe are spending up big on social media platforms. But this time around, there's an increased wariness of political advertising online and its influence on democracy. That's in part due to last year's Cambridge Analytica scandal. Watchdog organisation Who Targets Me has spent years tracking where people are targeted and how political groups and parties sell their messages to the voters and why. The billions of ads politicians and others buy on social media platforms play a vital role in every modern election campaign. Yet there's little research in this area because social media companies have only recently started sharing even a portion of data on the subject. Sam Jeffers, who worked for the Labour campaign in 2015, co-founded Who Targets Me to scrutinise the social media space.
One mindset they have is a very American mindset, which is obviously that, you know, election campaigns are places where large sums of money can be spent, where there isn't a massive amount of scrutiny or oversight of the way that that happens, where, you know, data protection law is relatively loose, you know, certainly compared to Europe. And that campaigns work in a very different way. So I think that, you know, I think there wasn't a lot of pressure from their home market to do it. And I think as gradually things like the Brexit referendum result came about, as stories like Cambridge Analytica and its involvement in the US elections in 2016 began to emerge, you know, I think people rightly began to ask, you know, what's actually going on here? Can we have a look under the lid of what's happening and start to try and explain it? And you know, I think that pressure in the end has resulted in some better transparency tools and some ways of seeing what's going on. But yeah, as you say, like it's just the beginning and there's still quite a long way to go.
What have you been seeing in the online political ads leading up to the forthcoming UK election? Of course, this is a snap election and it's truncated. And you had the tragedy recently with the terrorist attack, which means has truncated the campaigns further for the parties. But what are you seeing? Is there disinformation blighting this election?
I think a lot of what you see is campaigning as usual. I mean, it, online, you see stuff that I think probably wouldn't fly so easily in kind of more traditional media environments. So the ads themselves sort of stretch the point a bit further than an interviewer might let you get away with. And we think that's kind of an interesting phenomenon, particularly in this election. I mean, the Conservative Party is making a number of claims which have been, you know, if not debunked, quite contested in the media already, but on social media and through their advertising, they're very happy to keep pushing some of these claims around building new hospitals and kind of hiring new police officers and things like that. They also go on the attack a lot more, I think, than they would in sort of traditional media formats. So there's a lot more kind of negative content about the Labour Party, particularly the leader, Jeremy Corbyn. They spend a lot of time attacking him. And then on the kind of counter side to that is that the Labour Party has a very active kind of anti-Tory voice as well, and a number of other organisations that surround it who kind of push the same messages. So it's, I think it's kind of rougher and readier even than you see in the sort of traditional kind of political media environment.
This is probably a harder question really, Sam, but given Cambridge Analytica that we talked about before, given the Brexit referendum and the acknowledgement around both of those about manipulation of material and misinformation, fake news if you will, do you think that members of the public are now more savvy, more wary of the information that is coming to them uninvited?
When we started doing this project in 2017, we were right hot on the heels of all of that stuff happening, and you know, there was a lot of public concern. We had a lot of people taking part in the project and installing the software. And now we're a little bit further away. It does feel as if people have kind of considered what's going on a little bit more. They take advantage. Certainly the rest of the media takes advantage of some of the transparency tools that are available to kind of cover this material in a lot more depth. So, you know, we have a very, essentially every media organisation in the UK right now has its sort of digital election team who are monitoring things closely and doing various bits of data analysis and trying to explain what's going on to people. So I think that's a kind of healthy new development. I think what we also see are a lot more people saying, I just don't use Facebook anymore. You know, I don't trust it as a place to spend my time. I don't think I have a good quality experience there. And that's something that we didn't see so much of in 2017 and is now really very common, particularly in sort of social media comments around the work that we're doing.
Are you noticing if the different parties have different ad strategies for England, Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland? Are they that targeted?
Oh, I think it's narrower even than that. I mean, we have this week, and the Conservative Party launched 3,000 nearly different ads. Lots of varied strategies depending on the type of seats they're trying to win, the types of voters they're trying to persuade, the different demographics, the different policies they have to fit with those demographics. The Liberal Democrats, who are the kind of third biggest party, launched a bunch of ads just targeted at the 40 seats that they think they need to either defend or attack in. And it's very narrowly defined strategies. So, one of the big benefits for parties of social media is this kind of granularity that you can kind of reach into a specific seat, find a particular group of people within it, tailor a kind of policy or an advertising, a piece of advertising material for them and try and persuade them with that. And we're seeing lots of that over here.
Can you identify which groups of people are the most targeted for this election, the most fought over?
I think to some extent. I mean, again, it's slightly different for each party because obviously we have this kind of overarching issue of whether or not we're going to leave the European Union and that affects parties differently depending on their policies. The thing that I think I'm particularly interested in is this idea that the Conservative Party are trying to win over Labour Party voters in the North and the Midlands. You can clearly see that some of the advertising is tailored towards trying to do that. You can see that there's lots of advertising designed, around economic issues as well that affect that particular group of people as opposed to just Brexit. So there's a sort of twin strategy there to try and win those people over. So, what you find in any parliamentary system is people kind of fighting over those kind of marginal or swing constituencies. And, there's lots and lots of different methods being used to try and do that at the moment.
I think also many people don't understand that perhaps it's not just the messages that they see that are tailored to them, but through this process, they're helping to tailor these messages for millions of other voters, this kind of insidious situation. How does this work?
For the first 2 weeks of the campaign, the Conservative Party was relatively quiet. One of the, theories about what they were doing was that they were just testing and refining their messages, making sure that the messages were in the right place for the kind of expansion of the campaign much later on. One of the thoughts is that, people have very short recall for the advertising that's put in front of them. So you want to do it as late and as big as possible. But if you don't kind of know what you're doing in advance of that, then you kind of don't know where you're spending your money. So what they've been doing is spending weeks getting a few very well-crafted and tailored messages and ads together. And that now the spending, which will run into millions and millions of pounds, will suddenly emerge and everyone will be bombarded with this stuff for the remainder of the campaign.
There are also non-party groups, lobby groups, I think we'd call them, also paying for Facebook ads, pro-Remain, Labour grassroots movement. What are you seeing here?
Some of the Labour grassroots groups. There are a number of pro-Remain in the EU groups who've been spending quite significant sums of money, fairly close to political party sums of money. But equally on the kind of the flip side, or more on the right of British politics, there's been the emergence of a number of much smaller but kind of interesting single issue groups around business, around private schools, around attacking, again, Jeremy Corbyn. And that didn't really exist in 2015 or 2017. So there's the beginnings of a possible, what you see more in America with the kind of right-wing political action committees beginning to spend money to kind of further their agenda as well. And that's a new development.
When I asked you earlier if anything much had changed in the last few years, the first thing you said was, well, not legislation. So let's look at regulation. Has electoral law in the UK kept up with the changing nature of politics?
No, not at all, really. But, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because obviously, politicians and campaigns see themselves as benefiting from lots of the techniques that are being employed here. They have this, sort of difficult position, which is they want to stop bad things happening. They just don't want to stop their own bad things happening. And so, when it comes to trying to move something through Parliament, there's really no momentum for it at all. Ironically, the regulators, in the UK, that's the Electoral Commission and the Information Commissioner's Office, both have quite detailed proposals for what they would like to see happen, but there's really no political will. It didn't really find its way into the Conservative Party manifesto, so it's not in their programme for government should they be elected. And so, it may well be that the 2019 election has no new laws, but also the 2024 election has no new laws either.
We have self-regulation, Twitter, banning political ads? Facebook certainly not. Do the transparency tools currently fit in with what's needed to protect UK elections from abuses of the law?
I think they're, you know, somewhat of an improvement. The bigger and potentially more useful law is the big European data protection law, the GDPR, which gives individuals lots of rights about the ways their data is used and imposes very strict penalties on people who misuse data. So, you know, one of the things that the parties have had to do since the last election is effectively clean up their act when it comes to using people's data. So lots of the profiling activity and the sort of just relentless collection of individuals' kind of data and political preferences and so on has become much harder to do. And so I think there have been some kind of, you know, additional protections, but not particularly designed around elections per se and kind of political activity. So it's still a very mixed picture. You know, we have this self-regulation from companies, which is, you know, each company's done it in a different way. Each company has different motivations, different pressures on them. It's just a very inconsistent picture. And lots of these rules are changing, you know, mid-campaign, which again is causing both, you know, voters a headache, but also campaigns who are trying to reach people with their messages. You know, it's just not at all a clear situation.
There are a few other tactics out there, aren't there? The accusations that the Conservative Party has been adopting a shitpost strategy. I need a definition on that, please, Dan.
That is not quite what they were doing. So just to be very technical about shitposting, this is, you know, more about sort of trying to muddy the waters in a conversation. I think what the Tory party really was doing was what are called boomer memes, which are, you know, sort of the bad things that your older relatives might share on Facebook in order to try and get, you know, people talking about them. So in fact, what they did was manage to get the media talking about them a lot. They didn't manage to get many people actually sharing them, but that seems to have been more their approach this time, is to try and muddy the waters, to try and divert people from talking about policy and issues by doing things at various moments that sort of distract and kind of deny people the opportunity to kind of really evaluate what they're up to.
They were both new terms for me, I have to say. I was reading that the Conservatives posted its campaign slogan in the Comic Sans typeface and got lots of interactions. Why does a typeface matter?
Well, you'll have to ask your compatriots who are over here running the digital campaign for the Tory party. There's a couple of New Zealanders working on the campaign for them who are kind of coming up with this stuff. I think the idea is that it's just a bit different. You know, I mean, the Tory party historically has been very conservative in its brand and the way that it uses its voice. This time around, they have a very different leader in Boris Johnson, who is a much more flamboyant and controversial figure, I suppose, is the way you might put it. And the sort of digital strategy has evolved to match it. It's very much more jokey and light. It's very sharp when it wants to attack. It's just quite a different thing. I mean, it's much closer to what the Labour Party's been doing for the last couple of cycles. And so there's been a kind of equalisation on that front as they've been doing things a bit differently.
At the same time, though, Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn, I understand, isn't featuring in very many of Labour's recent Facebook ads. So his profile is being put to one side, perhaps not being seen as such a winner.
Yeah, you see this come and go. I mean, in 2017, they didn't use him at all until they realised he was actually an asset. This time around, he's been in and out of the campaign. There's certainly less enthusiasm for the Labour campaign this time around. You know, there were a lot of big rallies in 2017. It was obviously a different time of year, and there was much more opportunity to do kind of outdoors and make, you know, big videos of big events and all the rest of it. This time it's a dark winter election, and maybe it's kind of taken on that tone as well.
Labour and the Liberal Democrats have been pouring hundreds of thousands of pounds into Facebook, also Instagram ads. Are they dwarfing the Conservative spending, or are the Tories, you know, opening up their coffers a bit more, appreciating that this is important?
I think it's one of the surprising things so far. I mean, historically, the Conservatives have had more money to spend on elections and have typically spent more money on paid media. This time around, both the Liberal Democrats and Labour Party are sort of tracking neck and neck. And they've spent nearly twice what the Tories have spent so far. So, you know, there is this kind of expectation that the Conservative Party will open up the coffers and start spending serious sums of money. But So many people in the UK vote by post these days. Nearly 20% of people vote before election day. And so if you're not spending money now, you're missing some of those people. And so there's a real question about when the Tories are actually going to start spending this money that they've raised.
The National Health Service, NHS, much loved by Britons, has, I think, has become a really important issue in the December election.
Sure. The NHS is always a core part, particularly of the Labour Party's campaign. And with Brexit coming along, there are big questions about what the future of the NHS looks like. A big election issue is to what extent America will be allowed to get some semblance of control or influence on the NHS system, and American companies can sell into the system. So that's a huge issue. And the Tories on the other side are trying to trumpet their own credentials in terms of investing in it and trying to draw a line under any idea that, America might get some control in the NHS. So it's a huge battle, and often is, like all political stuff, it's a question of trust and who you believe in terms of what they put forward. And at the moment, it does seem as if the Conservatives are trying everything they possibly can to sort of deny Labour the charge that it's about to be a Trump-owned NHS.
Sam Jeffers from Who Targets Me.